We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been sick? Have you not consulted a physician? Have you not at some time said, "Those are the doctor's orders"? Well, that's my subject, the doctor's orders. Few people have not sometime been attended by a physician because of illness. Thousands of people today are attempting to follow the doctor's orders because they know their lives depend upon it. Perhaps the order is immediate surgery or death. Or perhaps the doctor has ordered a very special prescription of medicine, which means life or death. Is it conceivable that one who receives such a life and death order from the doctor would conclude, "I'd rather die than follow the doctor's orders"? Hardly would that be true of anyone exercising the proper faculties of his mind and judgment. If my doctor, in whom I have faith and confidence, should declare, "Follow my orders because it is a matter of life or death," you may be sure I would not argue the matter with him, but would resolve to follow to the very best of my ability and knowledge the doctor's orders in minute detail. Regardless of the medicine prescribed, its distastefulness or extra cost, I would follow the doctor's orders if it were a matter of life or death. What about you? Today the world is sick. The souls of men are sick because of the deadly disease of sin. In Old Testament times, the term plague applied to the hideous disease of leprosy. In modern times, the term generally applies to a deadly and infectious disease. The most infectious and deadly of all diseases is sin, a plague of the heart or the soul of man. Reference is made to sin as a plague in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 38. "Shall know every man the plague of his own heart," the Bible says. Sin is loathsome and devastating. In the beginning, God created man with moral beauty and dignity. Man reflected the image of his Creator, and God, in the expression of delight, pronounced him very good. Later, the plague of sin separated man from God because God is all good and sin is all evil. They can have no fellowship. Sin robbed the soul of man of its spiritual energies and moral strength. Like a plague, sin is exceedingly infectious. One sinner may contaminate and destroy a wealth of goodness. In the beginning, Eve caught the plague of sin, and Adam immediately was contaminated with it. Thereafter, thy firstborn son became the murderer of his brother. The dreadful disease spread as a man populated the earth. Then God surveyed the state of mankind and pronounced, "The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts was evil continually." As you read in Genesis chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Paul emphasized the seriousness of the plague of sin when he wrote that men were under sin, as it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not so much as one. Thy throat is an open sepulcher. With thy tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is upon thy lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Thy feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 18. What an indictment against man! What a description of the tragic results of the plague of sin! Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Every soul of man, every family, every city and every nation on earth has been infected with the deadly disease of sin. Every member of a person's body, every faculty of the soul may be afflicted by this hideous plague. The effects of sin may be fatal. Even if healed by following the doctor's orders, its scathing marks may be seen in every phase of society. Sin will wreck the mind, wreck the body, and destroy the soul of man. Sin will wreck the home, wreck a community, and destroy a nation. Sin may debase man and cause him to become a blighting curse upon society. Sin may eat away like a cancer the spiritual firewood of a man's soul. Sin infatuates and produces delirium. It annihilates peace and may fill one with internal misery and torture. Without following the doctor's orders, this most deadly disease will destroy the soul and body in an eternal hell. The wages of sin is death, we're told in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The inspired word of the apostle to the Galatians should ever be remembered. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 5, verses 7 and 8. No man is capable of curing himself of the fatal disease of sin. Human reason, in opposition to faith, has tried and failed. All the infidels, atheists, agnostics, and modernists, liberals and skeptics in the world combined, have failed to make even a single contribution to the relief of the sin-sick soul of man. Human systems of religion have tried and failed. Man himself has never been able to restore even one plague-stricken soul. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know there is a remedy? That is a cure if we are willing to follow the doctor's orders. The remedy is not prescribed in terms of street demonstrations, rebellion against constituted authority, the new morality, nor the practice of religion dictated by dogmas of men. The remedy must be prescribed by the one physician who is capable of issuing orders which will be completely and affect the soul of the sin-sick soul of man. That physician is the one great physician, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who once declared, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." Matthew 9 and verse 12. If any member of our family should become seriously ill, plagued with a deadly disease, surely we would seek the services of a qualified, experienced physician, and we would be completely resigned to follow the doctor's orders. The love of self and the determination to sustain life in the human body are deeply implanted in the heart of every human being. It is not unusual for men to travel thousands of miles and spend fortunes in money just to try to secure relief for a diseased body or sustain life in the body just for a little while longer. Under such circumstances, the sick patient resolves to follow the doctor's orders in every minute detail. However, in committing one's life into the hands of his physician, man is definitely concerned about the doctor's qualifications. What about his experience in treatment of the disease? The patient is always anxious to know about the physician's success in effecting a cure for the disease. Jesus, God's Son, the great physician, possesses complete and unbounded supernatural knowledge. He knows all the faculties of the soul, all the ailments which might afflict the soul, and he knows the exact remedy and application necessary to effect an absolute and infallible cure. No earthly physician can claim infallibility in his treatment and cure of the disease of the body. Because they are human, they often err, and many of their patients die. This is not true of the great physician, Jesus the Christ. All the diseases of sin are alike to him, and none are beyond cure. The sin-sick soul may be completely healed if man will completely resign himself to follow the orders of the great physician, to follow the doctor's orders. It is most unfortunate that many people who are sick unto death fancy themselves as being quite well and have no need of a physician. They will not admit the plague of their own hearts. Others may admit that they are sin-sick, having acted as if the physician has diagnosed the case and concluded that the maladies are serious and most dangerous, but others will not. Others will not follow the orders of the great physician. Thousands of sinners die unprepared to meet God because of indifference, because of refusing to follow the doctor's orders. Today, thousands of sin-sick souls are conscious of their need of the great physician and are even willing to consult him about their condition and the cure, but obviously do not have unqualified faith in Christ, the great physician. They're not always willing to follow the doctor's orders. If you should become seriously ill and go to your physician, would you have faith enough in your doctor to follow his orders, especially with reference to his prescription as a remedy to cure the disease of your body? It is said that one time a preacher who was seriously ill consulted a physician who was a specialist in his field of medicine, and upon completion of the examination, the doctor gave him a prescription to be filled. The doctor warned the minister that his life was in grave danger unless he followed the prescription in minute detail. When the preacher presented the prescription to the pharmacist, he was informed that all the items specified in the prescription were not necessary. "There is one item I don't think is essential in the doctor's prescription," declared the druggist. "But my life may depend upon this order of the doctor, and I must insist that the prescription be filled exactly as given," replied the preacher. "Well, I have another drug, and in my opinion, that is just as good as the one prescribed. Shall I not substitute it?" said the druggist. "No, indeed," said the preacher. "I want nothing left out and nothing substituted. It must be filled exactly as the doctor ordered, because my life depends upon it." "But other people have accepted substitutes," the pharmacist declared. "Not me," said the preacher. "This is my life involved. Regardless of what somebody else may have done, I will accept no change nor substitute." Later, the pharmacist attended the church service and heard the minister deliver his sermon. He was both relieved and amazed. The preacher, who was supposed to be filling the prescription of the great physician as a balm for the sin-sick souls of men, declared that although Jesus, the great physician, did command, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," in Mark 16:16, he thought one could be saved without baptism. "Baptism is non-essential," the preacher said. The great physician prescribed baptism as a condition, just as he prescribed faith as a condition. But the preacher, who was supposed to be administering the doctor's orders, was arguing that one part of the prescription was not necessary. Furthermore, the druggist was impressed when he heard the preacher say that the great physician at no time prescribed the use of mechanical instruments of music and worship, but it was, in his opinion, that it would be acceptable to add it to the prescription because almost everybody uses it and he could see no harm in it. At the conclusion of the service, the chemist firmly shook his hands with the preacher and said, "Surely the legs of the lame are unequal." Surely there is a lesson in this story. No man can afford to risk the loss of his soul because of a change of the doctor's orders. The Lord's plan of salvation, as well as in medicine, cannot be tampered with, just as man dare not tamper with the doctor's orders. Additions nor subtractions to the doctor's orders are to be made by a reliable pharmacist. The laws of the land protect our bodies from unscrupulous men who might tamper with the doctor's orders intended for the healing of the body. But it is up to every individual to see that every condition specified by the great physician, Jesus the Christ, is followed without addition or subtraction. This is a matter which concerns the destiny of the souls of men. So serious are the consequences that the Bible warns, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." It is a recognized fact that certain medicines may be used to sustain life in the body. Yet the same drugs, misused in the hands of unlearned and unskilled men, may cause death. The gospel of Christ, consisting of the divine orders of the great physician, is the power of God to save the believer, as we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. But a perverted gospel, which is a prescription tampered with by men, can only mean spiritual death. Hear the apostle. Are you listening? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Are you following the doctor's